This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Familiar verse for many people out there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength.
Truly. I mean, that is what it is. What more can I say? What can I add to that? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with your strength. And that's not saying like your actual physical heart, your strength, get in there and get your... It's just saying with all of you. It's a poetic way of speaking with all of your entire being. You just got to love the Lord. And I mean, it's so simple. I can't really add much more to it.
Yeah. This is part of that passage. I mean, people will know this. It's part of that Deuteronomy passage called the Shema, which is Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then this is the follow-up. Because God is God, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then this is echoed in the New Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
That's
and
right.
Again, it's that idea of your entire being is devoted to God and devoted to loving God. And if you love God, you're going to do two things. You're going to love his commandments and you're going to love his people.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to love his commandments even more and get into his word every single day, we've got the app for you. It's called the Date the Word app. And it's where we get all of these verses from that we read on the Clearview Today Show, made by a guy named Dr. Dwayne Carson. And it was it's a great app that gets the word of God to your phone every single day. Every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. You can download it for free right now on the iPhone. Why do I always mess that up? You can download it for free right now on the
For iPhone or Android.
You can download it for free right now for iPhone or Android. You do it. No, you do it. Yeah, fine, keep it.
Oh, you can download the Date the Word app for free for iPhone and Android. Every single day connects today's date with God's word.
I'm sorry,
with the hope
Dr.
of making
Carson.
It more memorable for you.
I couldn't do it.
Now I'm getting tongue-tied. It's available on the Apple Store, the Apple App Store, or the Google Play Store.
Did I do that? Okay. I do have a segment for you guys today.
Urkel style.
I feel like the spirit of Urkel has descended upon this room. So, did I do that?
Wait a minute, segment. What's the Urkel laugh? Oh, Carl.
Okay, so.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. I watched a lot of Urkel growing up. Okay, so. This is the segment of our show. It's called Did I Do That? We talk about something embarrassing or cringeworthy that has happened in our past that we want to share with you guys just for the sake of making your day a little bit better. Maybe just saying, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. So once before worship, we used to do a thing where if it was someone's birthday in the congregation, we would sing happy birthday to them mm-hmm. before worship, right? Nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Cute.
We one time had a woman say, hey, my son's birthday today. He's a grown man, mm-hmm. But I want you to sing happy birthday. She was a member of the worship team.
Yes.
And still is. And so we were like, yeah, absolutely. No problem. I tell you what, today's like a big day. We're introducing a new song. It's like got one of those like grooves. Doom, 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 doom. So I was like, why don't we do happy birthday in the same key? Go into the song and like make it like this big, cool transition to where mm-hmm. everybody sings happy birthday. We applaud. Everybody stands up. Like the moment's just going to flow.
Yeah.
That was what was in my head, right? Vocal range, depending on where you start,
is important to consider.
Is very, very critical. I'm going to tell you how I messed up. I started way too high.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is there a G pad? Hold on one second.
We're pulling that up, here's the thing you have to understand for those of you who are not singers.
Right.
Number one, when you are in front of people and you are speaking, your adrenaline is pumping and that's going to pitch your voice up mm-hmm. naturally.
Yes.
So if your speaking voice is down here, if you're speaking in front of people, you're likely going to start speaking up here.
And you're trying to get everybody on board with what's about to happen. So
right.
guys, we're just so excited. So here's the key of the song, right? So I go, come on, guys, we're just going to stand up to our feet. We're going to wish our buddy Matt here a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Pause. You see my mistake?
Already messed up.
I got nowhere to go.
Already messed
happy
up.
Happy birthday to you. No, I'm up here at the register. Ryan has to step in because Ryan's got a high voice and just step in like happy birthday, dear Matt. And I'm up here joking. And so I'm trying to like get back in. And so I'm in the mic. I'm like, happy birthday to you. Not on key, not on pitch. So obnoxious.
And that's the story of why we don't do happy birthday in service
we
anymore.
Don't do happy birthday at Clearview Church no more. It was bad.
We sing it for our kids. I sing it for the kids in Awana and sports
sure yeah
camp.
Yeah yeah.
However, there is no pad.
No,
there is no key.
No music.
I just started wherever I wanted
the worship
to start it.
Team was trying to jump into like they were playing on the piano and the drums like trying to distract from the fact that I'm up in the stratosphere so bad.
It was
really, really high. And like, it's not just that it was high. It was high and off pitch because I was just like, I have nowhere to go. My voice won't do that. I can't drop back down. Ryan stepped in to save it. I should have just let him, but I was so afraid of losing control that I just went for it. It was bad. So anyway, long story short, no more happy birthday at Clearview Church. We're done
funny.
With that.
Write in and let us know if you've ever had a singing blunder specifically around happy birthday.
In front of 400 people.
If you started it too high, you know.
You know.
You know if you started it and it's too high, you're like, oh, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shah's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shah has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. And as always, we are here with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abhidhanshah.com. Dr. Shah, happy birthday to you, my friend. A very happy birthday. His face just fell.
You want to lead us in the song?
Well, I sat my birthday.
Did I do that?
Oh, so Dr. Shaw, on the beginning segment today, we were talking about, you know, did I do that as our segment where we've done something embarrassing?
That's right.
We brought up the time that John was from the stage.
We don't sing happy birthday to people at Clearview no more.
Yeah. As a result of this occurrence.
Yeah, I remember that. I was there.
Happy birthday to a congregation member of ours.
I was standing in the back. I was standing by the audiovisual desk. It's not a desk, it's a booth.
Yeah.
And I was standing back there, and this whole thing begins. And the moment John started singing,
he knew.
I knew this was not a good idea.
Not good.
And I was like, oh no. Because he started it so high.
Way high up there.
It was in the same key as our first song.
Yep.
But
it's
one
of those, Happy Birthday is a deceptive song because it climbs so much.
Yeah.
But if you begin too high, it's almost like the Star Spangled Banner in that way. Yeah. If you begin too high,
you're doomed.
You're done. Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like Dr. Shaw said, you know you're doomed in the beginning. As soon as you start, you know. It's not like goodness.
Is that like the guy who sang the song we watched the video on?
Yeah, Now that guy, I don't know what in the world. I think he knew he was doomed from the start, but he at least could have been like, "Hello, guys, hold on. Let's stop. Maybe we'll link that video."
At first he was like, "Oh, you gonna pick that key?"
Yeah.
But, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And it also kept climbing and kept climbing. It kept changing keys on him and going up.
Impossibly high, and then eventually he just started going back down and the key was still going up and we were no longer.
I've heard that guy. That guy actually can sing, but he just decided. What's crazy to me is he just decided to go for it.
Yeah, I can do this. I am going to go.
Yeah. Like any normal singer would have been like, hold up, guys. I think there's a mistake.
A healthy amount of fear.
Right. There you go.
But he was bragging and stuff at the same time. Uh-huh. So it was like, yeah.
I love when stuff turns out that way. But short answer is if you're a member of Clearview Church and you want happy birthday sang to you from the stage, we don't do that deal.
We don't.
Shout out to the Black Panther. Rest
that
in peace.
No longer going.
We
to
don't
be
do that.
That does not happen. Piggybacking off of that, every Wednesday night as part of Awana and then part of Sports Camp, we do birthday shout outs and we'll sing Happy Birthday to everyone. But I've been very conscious of how high I start Happy Birthday because of that.
Don't
instance.
Do it with music. Here's the thing: if someone in your congregation is like, please sing Happy Birthday to me, do it a cappella.
Do it a cappella.
Don't try to do like I did. Mm. I was like, oh. I wrote too close to the song. I was like, we're already starting in G. I'll just go on ahead and do it in G. It'll be easy.
No.
Don't do it with music because you are trapped.
The key of G for golly, that's high.
I now have a healthy amount of fear for the birthday song.
That's an important thing to develop.
We talked
yesterday about fear. We talked yesterday about how fear can help guide us.
Right.
But sometimes fear, you know, in the wrong aspect, it becomes contagious to people around us.
That's right.
We're going to continue that conversation today. So in light of that, Dr. Shaw, what is our daily encouragement for today?
Well, God has not given us the spirit of fear.
That's right.
But of power, love, and a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
So do not live in fear.
That's right.
Our
That's
culture
right.
today loves to be afraid, and they love to say, and I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I even consciously remind myself, don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't begin your statements with, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. And there are people in our society today who know that and who capitalize on that. You know, fear sells.
Yeah.
You can make some money if people are afraid. And if you know that they're afraid and you're either giving them more fear to feed their addiction or offering the solution, you can really capitalize off people's fear.
Right now in our culture, in our country, fear is being used on our college campuses to shut down commencements.
That's right.
Graduations. So, yeah, fear does work.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, look at the news headlines. There's a reason that they're always so negative, and there's a reason that viewership keeps going up. We joke about that sometimes, like, oh, the news is just always bad news. Of course it is, because that's what keeps you tuning back into the news.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. But love and tradition of the grand design, to me, this is just me now, some people say is even harder to find.
Sure.
So I think that's my daily encouragement for the day.
Yeah. What song is that?
Family Matters.
Family Matters. I was going to say, like, I know that's...
Which circle, full circle.
Days go by. Yeah. All right, very nice. Good tie-in.
There
very
you go.
Nice.
That was completely on accident. I'm done with the segues.
Winslow was always afraid.
Mm-hmm.
He was afraid when his eyes starts twitching. Yep. Have you noticed that
anytime Steve come on the scene, dude would just seized up with an unhealthy
eyes. And that's what happens when someone has intense fear. It can sabotage. Like Sergeant Winslow, it sabotages his or her perception, thinking, and motor processes.
starts twitching. Like,
I remember he would just be looking for any way to get out of this situation because they would really. I mean, we're kind of talking about
Steve,
family matters here.
Go home.
Go home, Steve. To be fair, Steve was kind of a menace. Like, he came in, disrespected this guy's home, hit on his 100%. Daughter right in front of his face.
100%.
Steve was sort of a menace.
But honestly, I mean, he took over the show.
He did.
Yeah.
100%.
He was not the star of the show.
No.
I didn't watch early Family Matters. By the time I started watching it with me,
it was like, the Urkel show.
My grandparents loved Family Matters, and it was 100% the Urkel show. I didn't realize it wasn't
It
him.
Didn't originally begin
no,
that way.
No, yeah. But he was so good.
Yeah.
But when a person is in a state of fear, mm-hmm. they want to comprehend and escape at the same time.
Yeah.
And their adrenaline starts rushing. Sometimes prediction can lead to phobias and panic attacks. And in the short run, this can help you adapt to your surroundings. But in the long run, it can lead to dysfunctions.
So I had something I wanted to share on that because I remember this is something that has stuck with me for life. The very first time Dr. Shah let me speak at Clearview, I think you guys were in Turkey, or you were overseas, and you worked with me on getting a message ready. And it was in Second Chronicles, where those three armies are coming against Israel. Mm-hmm. And I think the king was like Jehoshaphat or something. He was so terrified, he just started making plans. Mm-hmm. He started scrambling to all the other nations, marrying off his daughter, this guy, forging an alliance mm-hmm. with this guy.
Yeah.
And I remember the reason it stuck with me, I was talking to Dr. Shah over the phone, and I was like, this guy's me. Mm. He's panicking. And he's just scrambling for solutions.
Yeah.
And now that has backfired because he didn't trust in God, he has to clean up the mess that he made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, I remember that hit me so hard. I was like, that's not my only problem, but that's a huge, huge thing in my life that
that's
I do.
Right. Yeah.
And that was what David did.
Yeah.
I remember that message, and it's so relatable because so often we just kind of have that gut reaction where we're in fear, we're scrambling, we're trying to get something together, and then we end up making a bigger mess that have to clean up.
I'll take the first solution that presents itself every single time.
Yeah.
And never, never once.
That's right.
Was there any wisdom in it?
That's right. And same thing happened to David. You know, David was talking to the priest and getting some bread from him, and he noticed from the corner of his eye, he sees one of Saul's henchmen. He was an Edomite by the name of Doeg. Mm-hmm. And once he sees him, fear grips him, mm-hmm. and he sort of spirals downward.
Yes.
And David said to Ahimelech, is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? And he said, I brought neither of them with me because the king's business required haste. So now he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is all bad ways of coping with his fear. And so the priest said, well, there is the sword of Goliath. And
you might know that guy.
Yeah, because you killed him in the valley of Elah. There it is, wrapped up in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take it, take it. For there is no other except that one over here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me.
Give it.
There is none like it. It's like, oh yeah, that is a sword. I mean, our swords are not a sword, but that one right there is a real sword.
Like, that's how you know the real guy. If you want to be like one of these little fake guys with a little Peter Pan dagger, you can do to be. You want to be the real guy.
Yeah.
You take a sword that was wielded by someone 10 feet tall.
I always imagined that sword like the big cartoony like anime swords that are like comically too
large. Did you
ever
play Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
Cloud Strife sword. Enormous, like hilariously large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what happens here. And he takes it. When he took the enemy's weapon, he, in a sense, began to head towards enemy territory.
Mm.
And I think there is a spiritual lesson there for us. You start using the enemy's tactics, you are going to now, almost like you will adapt to the enemy's ways.
Very true. That's
very
true.
And he headed in that direction.
That's true.
That's a great point.
How can I become more like Christ while acting like the enemy?
Yeah.
You know, even if I'm trying to get to a place Christ wants me to be, I'm going to do it like the enemy would do it.
In that moment, in his fear, that seemed like the logical solution to, like, I got to arm myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could look at that and say, yeah, I can understand why he would think that. But that's just how insidious fear is. And it kind of pulls us toward, just like you said, like enemy territory.
I have 100%. I've withheld truth thinking I was being merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And really, I mean, it's just lying. I can say I withheld truth, but it's telling a lie, thinking that this is how I'm going to solve this situation.
Right.
All for the glory of God.
Right.
All for the kingdom of God.
Doesn't ever work out that way.
Yeah.
It only ends up making things worse.
Yeah.
And so David now is like headed in the enemy direction. And when he gets there, I mean, he went to Philistine territory. I mean, in which universe did he think that was a good choice?
Yeah,
true.
And the servants of Achish, the king of Gath, saw him, recognized him. Is that,
not exactly a low-profile guy.
Wait a minute.
Is this not David, the king of the land?
Yeah, that's true. What were you thinking, man? Like, they weren't going to recognize you over there.
Singing your praises. You're the one who murdered their champion.
Like, the king, the enemy king, is going to just stroll through their land, and they'll be like Solid Snake. Like, boom.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I know you.
Yeah.
Hey, who was there? But when they said that, David took these words to heart, means it gripped his heart. Sometimes the English softens it, or it makes it sort of awkward. But what it really means is that he became afraid.
Mm.
And it says that in the next line, he was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath.
Yeah.
Because those Philistines knew how to kill you in all kinds of creative ways.
Mm.
And he's thinking, oh no.
That's me.
They're not just going to run a sword through me. They will make me suffer in the process because I have killed their thousands.
Mm. Yeah.
Of course, he killed Goliath, but he's also killed the thousands of Philistines. Can you imagine the thousands just as one man?
Yeah.
This is sort of like walking through territory where you are public enemy number one.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. You are the enemy king.
Right.
Like you're the end game on their chessboard.
Yeah. And you just walked into their camp.
Yeah.
And then he did what we talked about last show.
David, please.
It's like
have some respect, man. It's come like, on.
Nah, dude. His dignity's out the window. Like, imagine like walking through. He's like, okay, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. I can do this. And then they see that, and he instantly just goes for the nuclear option.
Yep.
And they brought him before Achish, and his response, I love it. Ryan, you want to read that for us?
Verse 14?
Yes.
It says, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?
I love that this is in the Bible. Yeah. This is not Apocrypha. This is
passive,
in the Bible.
Aggressive king. Yeah. He's already frustrated. He in a sense, despises his own people. And when they bring him, it's like, why?
A lot of times with David, and I see this all throughout scripture, but especially with David, like the same words that he was, that like you said yesterday, these eagle moments and the hippo moments.
Mm.
The enemy is really good at taking your eagle moments and making them into hippo moments. Mm. So that song that brought him so much pride, David has killed his, or Saul has killed his thousands and David's his 10,000s.
Right.
He used those exact same words where the Philistines said them, the same words that made him really proud, now all of a sudden have his gripped in fear.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And so he runs away, of course, and they let him go. And I can imagine the servants are like, King, you're going to regret this because he is really the guy. But anyways, and what did David do? He runs away in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. He therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him.
Hmm.
So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him.
Mm.
Wow.
So God took an otherwise embarrassing hippo moment and started giving that eagle that soaring, you know, that rise.
Yeah, that's how good our God is.
But here's the lesson there. Don't forget the hippo moments because, and again, for those of you listening for the first time and you haven't heard the show from yesterday, I got the eagle-hippo analogy from John Maxwell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But don't ever forget the hippo moments of your life because they keep you humble.
That's right.
It's sometimes when we start believing our own press or we start thinking we are somebody or we are as good as what people say about us is when we make a big hippo mistake.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
So now he's ready to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people who are in distress, indebted, and discontented people, which is sounds like a lot of churches.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Sounds familiar.
They became giant slayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're the ones who go out there and kill thousands.
Yeah.
But David had to go through this process to get there. And that's why it's...
Are these the men that become later his mighty men?
Yeah.
These are the
they come out of this stock.
Wow.
So amazing, right?
Yeah.
How God takes a poor hippo moment, and if we humble ourselves before him, he takes it to a eagle moment.
Have you had moments like that in your life where you had companions or you had people that were surrounding you, but they had to go so that the right people could come in?
Yeah. It's happened before, and I can see my mistakes there. Mm-hmm. I don't think the mistakes were wholly, wholly, mm-hmm. wholly my mistakes, but there was a mistake there.
Mm-hmm.
So they did something wrong. Like Saul was the one who really messed up here.
Right.
Because Saul could have had David with him. David did not want his throne.
True.
But Saul got envious and tried to take him out. And then David ran for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has an army.
Right.
And he has people who one day will be giant killers. I've had those moments where somebody else messed up, but then I messed up.
Mm.
David should have just stayed with God, but instead he went to Achish, the king of Gath. He made a mistake. He allowed fear to grip his heart. But that's the beauty of following God, that even he uses our poor moments to turn something rich.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say that even in that moment where it was humiliating for David, that moment where it was a poor decision where he allowed fear to creep in, God used that to bring the right men alongside him. And how different was David's demeanor? How different was his approach when he was surrounded by these guys instead of people who were speaking fear and uncertainty into his life?
Well, it also doesn't, it's not something that he tried to brush under the rug and just forget about. It's like, okay, that was humiliating, but now it's over. I can focus on, like, he wrote Psalms about that very experience.
Yeah. I mean,
and
now it's in the Psalm we're talking about, Psalm 34.
That's right.
Yeah. And these men went out, one killed 300 at one time with a spear.
Mm-hmm.
300.
That's insane.
What did that guy look like? I don't think he was like big and tall and scary, because that would make a big target.
Yeah.
I think he was just had the Spirit of God upon him.
Yeah.
And true. He was able to move fast and maneuver and do things to take out 300. Three of them crossed behind enemy line and brought water for David from Bethlehem.
Wow.
One killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Everything's slippery and slick and icy. And
you're in a pit.
I couldn't kill a lion with a bazooka on a great day.
Yeah.
This guy's
in a wide open field.
Yeah,
exactly.
If he was chained up.
Yeah. So the wrong companions had to go so the right companions could come.
They're like, these are like the Avengers, like assembling.
Yeah, I know.
They are. But keep in mind, Stan Lee was Jewish.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So a lot of these ideas come from that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That people can become superheroes, and yet they look very common.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that we have like this massive giant Hulk of a guy who can do that, that's not always the case. They just have something that transforms them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That whole concept is actually coming from Scripture.
Makes perfect sense.
The superhero concept is actually coming from Scripture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We mentioned this, we got a little bit of time left, but you mentioned yesterday, I think at the very top of yesterday's episode, that all of this is somehow connected to Peter. Because Peter, it's like, Peter is the one who's telling this story of David to the churches in Asia.
Yeah, he's quoting from Psalm 34,
mm-hmm.
and he's telling the believers in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey,
mm-hmm.
to be of one mind together, and together they would be a mighty army for God.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let fear conquer you.
Mm-hmm.
People in America need to hear that.
That's right.
I was with a pastor just about 2 days ago, and he was talking about that. He said, what do you think it will take for pastors in America to start speaking out on Christian values and on even on politics? They don't have to endorse a candidate, but can they not speak out?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you know, I get you. I totally understand, because people are afraid.
Yeah,
that's true.
And he even talked to a pastor, and his response was, but you know, I've heard so-and-so, and I heard about this, that, and, you know, he got harassed by people and so-and-so. And I said, I hear you. But those kind of stories keep us from stepping up and being full of hope and strength.
That's right.
And leading our people to be full of hope and strength.
That's right.
If we are afraid, they'll be more afraid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the problem in America, of course, many levels of problems, but one problem is that there's fear in the pulpit.
That's a good point. Very good point.
And if there's fear in the pulpit, there will be fear in the pews.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Bible tells us in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
I was just going to say, I remember this was back when 2020 was happening and the world was shut down. You shared a quote with all of us, but I especially like kind of latched on in my mind and my heart. It's from Billy Graham. It says, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened.
Yep,
yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. That's Billy Graham.
Yeah.
And that's what we need today.
Yeah, that's right.
1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment.
True.
But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
That's right.
Right? That may be another, the verse 19 will be going into another topic there, but I think it's still in the context of love. Love and fear cannot coexist.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so important. Man, today was helpful. I know it was helpful for me. Hopefully it was helpful for those of you listening and watching at home. Take steps to overcome your fear and surround yourself with people who will speak courage and speak life into you and keep you focused on who God is.
That's right.
If you enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.